Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, there's only a couple minutes. Not that I'm bound by that little thing back there, but I know some of you got some get-togethers today. But I do want to share some things real quick, get some, we're going to call this some groundwork. A couple weeks ago, I was reading in a book, and God just, something in that book just read, just slapped me in the face, and I was like, I got it. And so we're not going to hit that part, but I was asked later, make sure you don't gross people out. Because it can be kind of, and it was something Paul was describing. See, here's something we need to understand about the word. You've got to know and understand Paul's mind. Why did Paul say that? Why did Paul address the slaves, the people who were slaves, and say, don't desire to be free? Us as red-blooded Americans, freedom, give me liberty or give me death, right? Paul wasn't that far out from the Spartacus rebellion. That was still fresh in people's minds. It was like World War II, World War I first. There was still that, it was still there, and people still felt the pain, and there were still people alive possibly that saw the corpses hanging on the crosses. So there were things Paul described that we need to understand, and this was one of them. But so today I want to look real quick into John chapter 1. And this kind of helps. Did I cover it? It must be under my coat. Nope, there it is. There it is. There you are. John chapter 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What beginning? Genesis 1:1. The beginning. When did it happen? We don't know. Does it really matter? Does it matter if it was a million years ago or 10,000? Does it really stinking matter? If it mattered, guess what God would have done? He'd have put it in there. I tend to find God does that. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning. He's the Word. How did God do things? He spoke. He said, first off, let there be light. Do y'all understand? The sun and all that didn't get created until day 3. So who was there? The Word. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything. It was all made through Jesus, the Word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. A comprehend is kind of a weird word for us in our language, because it means I don't understand it. But here, let me read something to you about that. Because Angela and I were talking about this morning. And I said, she's like, let me read this out of my Bible. And her Bible read a little different. What translation is that? New Living. Okay. So when I looked it up in here in my Bible, and this one's a great study Bible, because it has a lot of the Greek words. And a Greek word for comprehend, I'm not even going to try to butcher it. But it has three interpretations. One of them means to seize, lay hold of, and overcome. Such as verse 5 could read, the darkness does not gain control of it. 2, to perceive, attain, lay hold of with the mind, to apprehend with mental or moral effort. With this meaning, the verse could be translated, the darkness is unreceptive and does not understand it. Did you ever see, y'all teachers probably have done this. You'd be trying to teach kids something and they just sit there. I didn't get one thing you said. I know my teachers look, are you alive? With this meaning, okay, good. It could be translated, the darkness was unreceptive and does not understand. Number 3, to quench, extinguish, snuff out the light by stifling it. The darkness will never be able to eliminate it. Light and darkness are essentially are antagonistic. The Christian's joy is in knowing that the light is not only greater than the darkness, but will always outlast the darkness. The light will. So that's what that means. It doesn't just mean he doesn't understand it. It's a threefold word that means the light will always win. It's what this world needs to understand. God always wins. Then to verse 14. So we skip a few because it starts talking about John the Baptist. Verse 14, though, says, and the word became flesh. That's why I wanted to read it. That's why we celebrate the Christmas holiday, because the word came as flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came, he spoke these things to us. I do have to get in my electronic device. So we have the very beginning. In Jesus, the word is life. Right? John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. Right? Genesis 2:7, it says that God, good. Let me hit that, because that's the next scripture up here. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. That living being means a soul. In their interpretation, a spirit. Not just animated. The animals are animated. And God just said, let there be cows. Poof. They were living, breathing, eating, doing their thing. But man, he took the time for us to go, come down, and take man and form him. And you know what I believe? I believe God used a little spit. Got to have a binding agent with dust. And he started forming man. You think I'm crazy? Remember what he did with the blind man? And he smeared it on his eyes. He restored back to what was supposed to be. But he's just a shell. He's not even a corpse, because he was never alive. And the Bible says that he breathed the breath of life. What is God? Is he a man? No, he's light. But according to John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. Does a spirit really need to breathe? Does it need the exchange of oxygen and CO2? No, it doesn't. God is not bound by these laws. Could God blow air? Absolutely. But what God did, he came face to face with man. And light. The word is light. And when he breathed, he expelled that out of himself. We became spirit. We are a threefold being. We are spirit, mind, and body. The mind is our emotions and stuff, right? Our spirit is what lives forever. Our spirit is what got cursed on top of the body. The body is just flesh. Dust to dust and ashes to ashes, right? And when God breathed that into us, it was his spirit, not just the Holy Spirit. It was his creation of an eternal life that cows, dogs, and cats do not have. Well, you mean my little Fluffy didn't go to heaven? There's absolutely not one scripture that says anything about it. Does God have dogs and cats? Very possibly. Why not? I mean, he created them. He created them here for our enjoyment. So, will there be somewhere? Absolutely. But I'm not going to tell my grandkids or my kids that, oh, little Remy went over the rainbow. We'll see him in heaven. Probably not. But will there be a dog that will associate? I don't know. I was told once that God has mini bikes with diamonds for spark plugs. I'm not kidding. And they run on the Holy Spirit. Why do we make up cockamamie things that are not scriptural? just to try to manipulate people. But Jesus himself stated that God is a spirit. Spirit does not require the natural mechanical breathing. God could have just spoke mankind into existence just like the others. If that's all we were monkeys, that's all he needed to do, isn't it? Yeah, I understand that these animals, are, a lot of them are very intelligent. You can watch apes, they figure stuff out, dolphins, but they are not like us. We are a special creation. God chose to form man from the dust, giving him a natural body because we never existed. There could have been some things before. I do believe in a pre-Adamite world. I believe the earth was sitting tohu wabohu, without form and void, meaning in judgment, when Lucifer fell, or his real name in Hebrew, Hillel. Then God chose to give man life, not just animation. He gave him life. He gave him light. That's why the word, it said, his life is light. I've heard people actually say that when people die, they can see a light flash. And I've seen a video of a helicopter that was taking off, and they said the very second, the split second, the passenger passed away, there was a flash of light that shot out of that helicopter. And don't you think that thought didn't come to my mind? I stood back and I said, God, no light. He gave us a spirit, an eternal existence, straight from him. He gave us himself. When God breathed that life, it was light. God does not need to breathe, but he is light. 1 John 1:5 says, and in him he is light, and in him is no darkness. If God were to turn around, you'd never know it. He has to shield our physical eyes in order for us to see a form. He had to actually stick Moses in the crack of a rock, because he said, no natural man can see me and live. Adam was not just a natural man back then. He was the epitome of a man. He walked with God. He talked with God. He conversed with God. We are flesh and blood. This body has an expiration date. Our spirits live on forever. And what Jesus came to do was to redeem our spirits, not our flesh. The flesh is going to die. That's it. That's why we celebrate. He died, was resurrected. But we forgot about our spirit. We let our flesh control our spirit. Well, I don't feel. If you have to use the word feel when you're talking scriptures, quit using your stinking flesh. This message, the overall thing, today's is called the Word. The overall thing is called face to face. Because Paul said, put off the natural man. I'm going to give you such a description of that, what Paul was talking about. You're going to go, so I highly suggest that you plan on fasting that day. Because it's disgusting. But here's the thing. We all look at, oh no, I'm never going to die. We all die. The Bible says some of us will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible in the twinkling of an eye. And if I have to take the dirt nap for a while, I know my spirit's in heaven. But the Bible promises me my flesh will be resurrected so that I am now complete. I'm not going to go up and be an angel. Let's just get that understood. We do not become angels. Angels were created being from God who knows when. God, if he wanted more angels, would have created angels. He wanted something lower than an angel. We're not just spirits. We have this flesh and blood. We're restricted to this earth. I know there are people running around preaching, oh no, we were supposed to go to the next planet. Nah, nah, nah. No, not really. We're the third rock from the sun for a reason. It's perfect for us. It's not too warm, not too cold. Back then, I believe Pangaea was perfect or as God called it, Eden. And he had this little teeny tiny garden over here for Adam and Eve. Had this whole other conglomeration. But our flesh started to die. But not only that, our spirits were now tainted with the corruption of darkness. Because even God was saying, look at man, he is indeed just flesh. And I don't think it really carries what it's supposed to mean in our English. When it says, and God was sorry. God went, oh man, I can't believe they did that. The Bible says he had already had Jesus slain from the foundations of the earth. He already knew we were going to mess up. So take heart in that. But he made a way. He made a way to overcome death by something that was susceptible to death, the physical body. That's what we celebrate, him coming in a physical body as a baby. He did die. It's the truth. Sounds a little, but the reality is Jesus died. He was born as that little precious baby, and he grew into a 30-plus year old man and was beaten and crucified in a terrible way. So much, the water that was left in his body and blood, he had probably had more water than he had blood. How he had the strength, it was all spirit that carried him at that point. Because they said that you could see bones. That way, if you guys are going to go eat here in a minute. That's really what we're celebrating. But that he resurrected. He came out of that grave, not stinking of death, not grayed and blued and whatever you turn colors. He changed so much. He's standing there talking to the people that just talked to him 3 days ago. And where have you put him? Mary. Yes. Mary. It's me. I told Angela, I said, you know what got her finally? The Word. The Word. What got the disciples on the road? Can't remember the name. It starts with an A. Yeah, Emmaus. He just disappeared. How many of y'all been walking, strolling along, talking to a guy? Hey, yeah, let's go. Keep on going. Hey, and you look over and like, where'd he go? And then they realized, didn't our hearts burn when he spoke to us? How did they recognize the Word? By the Word. The very spoken Word of any situation. That's why it's important for us to speak God's Word. God's Word, not our will. God's Word. That's why I say, if we're praying for somebody and they want to go home, I don't have authority to override their personal will. That's called witchcraft. Won't play that game, but if they want, I'll speak God's Word. And if it's God's will that their time they come home at that point, they're going home. And that's just all there is to it. Because just like Miss Gloria, we know that woman loved to run and dance. She got to where she was tripping and falling, just standing still sometimes. That's why I said when she opened her eyes back up and saw those gates waiting for her, oh, I'm sure there was a... She had her own little dances. And she always said she wanted to be home before Christmas. She was just claiming last Christmas, just so y'all know. And the Christmas before that. So it's like, you might want to be with your daughter and let some healing things happen and some restoration. And God did that. But, so that's where we're going to go. This whole series is going to be called Face to Face. And it's about the flesh and the spirit. Because we have this flesh and blood body. And it is susceptible to this world. Like I told you this morning, I got preachers out there. I've heard them, if you're sick, you're living, you're sinning. And, shut up. I already know you went to the doctor. You got the best medical coverage out there. Well, if you're believing that you can't get that sin, then why do you have Blue Cross Blue Shield? Well, you should not. No, shut up. People get sick. Preachers get sick. You get sick. And I chose just not to share it, but unfortunately, we probably already shared it with everybody. And you may have got, I told Johnny, I said, I'm so sorry, Johnny. He's like, I might have picked it up somewhere else. I said, no, there's a good possibility, but guess what? It's the most wonderful time. But praise God, he has given us his word, Isaiah 53:5. By his stripes, we are healed. I have one more prayer request. It just, when I said that, it just like ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah. So some of you know of the group Striper. Well, Michael Sweet, the lead singer and lead founder, has thyroid cancer. And so he's battling that. And he's asked for prayer. I kind of follow him. And you know what? I don't care what your thoughts and opinions are on the band. They did what they did and they led millions to the Lord. How many did you lead? They threw Bible. I told Angela, I said, watch this. I said, they got these little Bibles. They had them in their concerts, man, and they chuck them. They chuck Bibles out into the audience. And one guy, I forget who it was, he was talking about, he said, I got hit by one. He said, I ain't gonna lie. It got my attention. But they preached Jesus to people that would have never listened to me. And you know what? You want to know all the countries they were the biggest influence in? Anybody know? Japan. They were huge. I mean, they rocked the world over here, but they got to Japan and it was just like, kiss who? We got Striper. So, but anyhow, you just never know where your message is going to resonate with somebody. A group I like, Bride. South America, Central America. Them boys are from Kentucky. And they're in their late 60s, still rocking and sounding good. But God has been moving on all of us now. Time's getting short. We need to get our heads out of our backsides, quit fighting. I shared with somebody last night, I said, you know, we got to quit fighting as the body of Christ. You're not my enemy. You're my brother. You're just part of a different organ. That's all there is to it. You might not, I don't need five thumbs. I need two. So, let's stand. And, yes. Yeah, we're going to pray for him, and then I'm going to dismiss you. So, anyhow, oh, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word, for the written word, for the spoken word, Lord God, and for your audible word that you speak into our lives and our hearts. Father, I pray that right now for each and every believer here and with the sound of my voice, Lord God, that they hear your word, that they're able even to shut things down and listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking life-filled words. And Father, right now, we pray for our brother Michael. Lord, he's asked for this prayer. Lord, he has preached your gospel. He may have made mistakes, but Lord, every last one of us has. So Father, I pray right now that you touch him. We bind that sickness, that cancer in his body, and command it to flee in the name of Jesus. He has claimed Isaiah 53:5 ever since they created that band. By his stripes, we are healed. I thank you, Father, that he continues to sing for you. He continues to tell people about you. Lord, I thank you right now. You're healing him. You're restoring him. This will have no effect on him. And Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. I ask, Father, that you move in their lives this week. Father, that you bring about opportunities just to share love. Father, just being kind sometimes. Father, I thank you that you're blessing them. Father, as we go about and we have our family celebrations, Lord, I pray for peace. Father, I bind resentment, anger, hatred, and everything that comes along with family get-togethers. Lord, I release your love, your power to flow freely. Father, and out of that, people will come to know you. They will see you. Father, even people who deny you exist. In Jesus' name, amen.